Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Morning, everyone. It's the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I'm your host, Dwayne Callender. A lot to talk about, as usual, given the time of year. What a difference 2 days makes, because now we've got a series on our hands here with the Yankees and Astros being tied up at two. Thrilling comeback by the Yankees last night. I, unfortunately, was at the Rangers game last night at MSG, so I had to re-watch the highlights to catch up on everything, and then try to catch a bit of a replay this morning. But you know, in terms of what I saw in the game, quite a bit happened during the Yankees game. But the overall theme I got out of this was just in terms of, and it's been a story with this Yankees team throughout, was just they don't really give up in spots. I mean, Sonny Gray pitched well, had a couple of bad breaks. Starlin Castro had a miserable day in the field, but you know, the team never got down on itself, and they didn't seem to quit in spite of the three errors, and just kept plugging away. And you know, they got an opportunity with AJ Hinch panicking a bit and pulling Lance McCullers out a bit too early, in my opinion. The decision was made that he was only going to go the six innings and not exceed 90 pitches. He was only at 81, so I get it, because they didn't want to pull him out in the middle of an inning, but still, it just seemed to be a bit premature since he was rolling and the Yankees really didn't have an answer for him. We got to the bullpen. We touched up Will Harris again. So, you know, even from that initial flurry in game one where we got to Harris, it's just carried over for the rest of the series. So I just think we kind of have him. The Yankees have themselves in his head right now, and he's in a bit of a funk. So you know, you gotta take advantage of that. So coming into tonight, you got Tanaka going up against Keuchel. Keuchel dominant at home this year, not as much on the road. So you have an opportunity. I mean, but Keuchel has done it before to the Yankees in the postseason at the stadium. So again, this is far from over, and is quite a bit of a hole that the Yankees have to manage their way out of, because between Keuchel and Verlander, they both should be fine for the next two games. So Keuchel gets to start here in Yankee Stadium. Verlander gets the following game in Game 6. With the Astros looking to close it out if they were able to prevail here today. So in terms of the overall dynamic that I saw out of the matchup last night. You know, again, Judge and Sanchez are starting to get going, so that is absolutely needed. The Yankees were pretty much close to the magic number I gave of 7 runs needed to kind of get past the Astros per game. You know, so far, the knock on wood, the Astros offense has not been there, but, you know, I still expect it to wake up sooner than later. So, you know, just something to bear in mind that the Astros hitters are not going to be sub Mendoza line in terms of batting average the entire way through this series. So I definitely think the Yankees are going to have to be conservative in terms of some of their pitch selections. But, you know, even with some of the moves Girardi made last night in terms of Romine being behind the plate to give Sanchez a mental break and improve the defense, still didn't work out because Romine had a pass ball. He was also involved in the in a catcher's interference play. So there were issues with Romine too. So I do think Sanchez will be behind the plate again today. But we'll see about that once the official lineup cards are released hours later. So that's what I had for the AL. On the NL side, just kind of looking at this series with the Cubs and Dodgers, it's increasingly hard to see how the Cubs are going to figure out a way of managing this series because, again, Verlander was the most dominant pitcher of the postseason thus far, and, you know, he's going to be relatively fresh for any future action in this series. So, again, this is one of those situations where Yankees just have to stay the course of what they're doing. But if I'm the Astros, I realize I just kind of punted a game last night where we were up and had a chance to wrap this series up in 5. Now you let the Yankees back in it, and we've got a series again. So, you know, very exciting times for the New York City area. So we'll see how it goes. Now, going over to the NL side, you know, between the Cubs and Dodgers, there's been very little evidence to suggest that the Cubs are remotely close to making a comeback in the series. From my perspective, the biggest issue has been the overall lack of offense from the Cubs lineup. But in terms of where they've been, the Cubs aren't hitting, the Dodgers pitching, and the Cubs pitching staff's not going long enough in the series. The bullpen has been shaky. Carl Edwards Jr., erratic at best, to put it mildly. Just quite a few holes for Joe Maddon to patch up right now. And being down 0-3, you know, I expect the Cubs to at least make a good showing in Game 4, come back strong to win a game, and maybe try to avoid getting eliminated at home in Wrigley. But, you know, top to bottom, it's hard to make a case where the Cubs are remotely close to doing what they need to do to win this series. I mean, from my perspective here is, you know, the Dodgers lineup is, even without Corey Seager, has been outperforming the Cubs, which should never happen. You know, the Cubs can't seem to get anything going from the leadoff spot. You know, it's just, once you're struggling that much up top, they can't figure out a way of getting Schwarber's back going, and once you're in that position already, you're relying on Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras to carry the offense. And Contreras is already banged up. He took a shot right off the forearm because of a cross up. So he's nicked up, and it's a lot to carry for just two guys, as we've seen in the postseason. I mean, the Nationals ran into that problem. And, you know, the Cubs are basically playing with house money at this point. I mean, the Nationals should have won that last series. But, you know, it is what it is. The Cubs are took advantage of the situation they were in and made it through to the championship series. But I just don't see them having the ammunition to keep up with the Dodgers at this point. So You know, that it is what it is, but my biggest distinction that I would say for the Dodgers going forward is just, you know, figure out what you can do to help Clayton Kershaw move along, because that's the biggest impediment to the Dodgers right now, is the fact that their number one is still very shaky. So we'll see how he looks the rest of the series, but that's the only thing I would say is, like, now you can actually start getting your starters ready for the World Series and lining up the rotations. Yes, is it being presumptuous saying that? Yeah, but, you know, realistically, you're saying to yourself, the Cubs lineup has been stifled throughout, and my pitching staff's held up with the bullpen excelling again, because you know, time and again, it's coming down to Morrow kind of getting the job done. Watson's been good, and Kenley Jansen shut down the door. I mean, you know, he didn't even need to come into the game, but they just wanted to get him some work, and he just blew the doors off the Cubs in 12 pitches and got the two strikeouts. So again, not much wasted effort on the part of the Dodgers. So if I'm the Cubs, it's very much a panic time, in my opinion, because they have to figure out a way of getting some runs across the board, and they're running out of time. So that's all I've got for Major League Baseball. In the NBA, we had the start of the NBA regular season. Unfortunately, we had a severe injury happen to Gordon Hayward, fractured tibia, and yeah, so he fractured tibia and dislocated his left ankle. I mean, you can see the break, and I would not suggest anyone actually watch this if. Unless you're somehow interested in seeing more morbid scenes. It was about as much everyone just looking away as soon as humanly possible. Once you see that break happen and you see the leg bent in an uncomfortable position. So, you know, our best wishes for Gordon Hayward. I mean, it was a great story with him out of Butler and working his way through Utah, developing himself into a superstar type of player that was going to be starting to get national recognition. I mean, people in basketball circles following him knew what he could do, but he hadn't really gotten much attention out in Utah, so this was going to be the breakout year for him. And, you know, it's a lost season, to say the least. So you hope for the best where he recovers from a fantasy perspective, since I have to offer advice in that arena. You know, you're looking at replacements on the Celtics. The beneficiary technically would be Jason Tatum on the Celtics, just as the immediate replacement and getting playing time. But you know, it's just a very unfortunate situation there. That's all I can say about that. In terms of actual score lines last night, what you had was essentially the you essentially had the Warriors dropping their home opener to the Rockets. Rockets ended up getting a breakout late in the fourth quarter. So this was already a time where most people were in bed. Rockets made a late charge. Warriors just kind of let that one get away from them, and Kevin Durant was unable to get a shot off in time. So, I mean, from the NBA perspective, regular season wise, there's nothing new that you're not you're gonna hear from me that it's gonna surprise you. It's still gonna be Warriors, Cavs, most likely at the end of the day. The question was, could Boston make a serious challenge in the East to come playoff time for the Cavs? And, you know, with this injury to Hayward, the answer is resounding no. But you never know in the NBA where something could happen. You would never want for something like that to happen, because you know, losing star players is never a good thing for a league or healthy. So that's what I got for the NBA. As far as the NFL, you still have the ongoing situation with the Packers trying to figure out what to do with the Aaron Rodgers injury. The stories are that Brett Hundley is still expected to be the backup and just work the team reps. So that's the direction they're going in. Interested party listening to that news would have been Colin Kaepernick, still looking to sign off an NFL team. And he's gone the extra route of napalming every relationship in the NFL at this point by hiring an attorney and pursuing a federal charge of collusion against the league. Now, the issue here is that technically, if by some way Kaepernick can prove collusion exists, there is a provision in the collective bargaining agreement that the NFL and the Players Association signed in 2011 that establishes that the CBA could be dissolved if any account of collusion could be proven on the grounds. So there technically is a case to be made here where you could make an argument that collusion exists, but it's about what you can actually prove. The issue for Kaepernick is that he and his attorneys, need to be able to provide evidence that there was some type of email, voicemail, some type of transcript showing that NFL owners were actively involved in trying to keep him out of the league. Now, obviously this case just started, but, you know, that type of information will require inside access to an organization to figure out what was going on, and also to have documentation of such events occurring and what was said. So, again, it's about not what you know, but what you can prove. Do I believe that Kaepernick should be playing in the NFL with some of the backups that are in the league? Absolutely. Do I think a lot of the media's focus on saying that he's a distraction is just a smokescreen? Yeah, pretty much. But trying to make the case that this is collusion that is responsible for him still being unemployed, that's a very tough sell, because you can't, unless you have hard concrete evidence showing that a person in decision of power at these teams all made comments and references to the situation to hint that no opportunity would be there, that's where I felt the suit had to be made. I just think it pretty much effectively ends Kaepernick's playing career, though, because at this stage, no team is going to sign him with this outstanding lawsuit in place. And to be fair, the most recent example of a collusion case being attempted and failing, and, you know, not too many people remember this, but, you know, it happened, goes back to Barry Bonds. You know, Barry Bonds in the 2013 season basically was applying to every major league team trying to get back in league, because he was still a productive hitter. He was clearly a DH player, but not even a team like the Devil Rays, which needed hitting, would sign Barry Bonds. And, you know, the court ruled against Bonds in that case, because there was no line of evidence dictating that teams were expressly told not to sign Barry Bonds. And you don't actually need to have all 30 teams to prove the case. You just need at least two or three teams with evidence stating as such that they're not going to sign him. So that's where Kaepernick is at this point. He's trying to find evidence, but, you know, it reminded me that with all these other teams, involved. You know, maybe someone was stupid enough to leave a memo or publish something. Normally, I would suggest a team like the Redskins or the Browns, but, you know, even that's a stretch. So I just think that this is more of a publicity stunt with Kaepernick trying to use this as leverage to get a settlement offer, since he knows he's not going to be playing in the league at this point, given that he wants to be a starter and no team's going to give him a chance at that based off of the political activism. But at the same time, it's one of those situations where if you truly believed you were wrong, why wouldn't you fight for everything that you believe is owed to you? So there's the flip side to the argument there. So in terms of the fantasy impact for Aaron Rodgers owners, you know, I'm looking at, I would suggest looking at the waiver wires to see if you have a shot at Alex Smith or Carson Palmer. Obviously you could pick up Brett Hundley, but I think he's just going to be the placekeeper in terms of the quarterback spot, and that they're going to run the ball more with Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones, who are healthy right now for the Packers, who are missing two offensive tackles. So I think running football is going to be tantamount for the Packers offense going forward, and then they'll use the play action to try to get Jordy Nelson free, as well as Davante Adams. So that's what I have right now. In terms of a couple of matchups you want to keep your eye out for this weekend, you got the Pats and Falcons Sunday Night Football. That should be a high-scoring affair, so lots of fantasy impact there. But I'll get into the rest of Week 7 later on in the week. But for now, have a good day, everyone, and enjoy the game today.
Talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought-after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.